You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Hi, and welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, December 7th.
Wow, December.
Yep, December 7th.
Get out of the city.
Like I just said.
That is
pretty exciting.
Crazy. That's crazy. And one would think a busy life with a podcast cut back to every 2 weeks instead of every week would be easier. It's not easier.
No, it's not really.
Because then you have longer to think about what you're going to talk about. See, we just overthink. I think you just need to wing it. But I'm not a good... Well, I am a good winger in some ways, but in other ways I'm not a winger.
No.
No, I'm not.
And I'm really not at all, so...
And some people are scared to wing it, so they're chicken wingers.
Right.
Right. So, very strange winter weather so far up here. Unbelievably warm.
Yes.
Uncharacteristically warm, in fact. Overnight on Monday this week, plus 10. Overnight.
That was last night?
Yeah.
It was plus 10?
Well, it's Wednesday.
Oh.
Plus yeah. 10.
Huh.
And the record was set in 1920-something, plus 11. So we're almost, well, what is that? That's many, many years. That's a lot of years. And we almost beat a record from the 1920s. Weird.
Wasn't that when the Dust Bowl was on its way?
I don't know. I never watched the Dust Bowl. I'm a Super Bowl guy. Or past the Sugar Bowl.
I'm just saying maybe this is significant.
I don't know. Well, I think it's...
The record was set the decade before the Dirty 30 started. So.
I don't want to say it makes me depressed. I don't want to say it's global warming, but I'm saying it's global warming. Could be. I don't know. Climate change making it a lot warmer now. Who knows? And the problem, too, is that there isn't information gathered on weather patterns. Doesn't date back far enough to get a sense of whether 2000s right now, and the overall warming we're seeing is a normal trend that happened, what, 200 years ago, 500 years ago? Like, there's no way to map far enough back.
Right.
That's been Science from the Couch for Wednesday. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I ain't no scientist. Michael Bublé is Canadian.
Yeah.
And Christmas is his big time of year because he's a Christmas crooner in a lot of ways.
Okay.
There's some great Christmas stuff. He had his first Christmas special this week. We have not seen it yet, but maybe by next show we will have seen it, and we'll talk about that.
Sounds good.
But a local radio station in Edmonton has been playing nonstop Christmas music with, obviously, some commercial breaks? Yeah, breaks and announcers kicking in and so on. But since, I don't know, beginning of November?
A while, yeah.
So I've been listening to that pretty steadily. It's good. It was a little bit too early at the beginning, but now it's great.
And you were listening to Michael Bublé on there, were you?
Yeah, some. He does circulate through.
They're
as well
playing
as...
He has a new Christmas album out this year, I think.
Yeah, he does. And a lot of, obviously, a lot of classics. Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin.
Yep.
You know, lots of Christmas. And it's not Christmas without Boney M.
Right.
Too, right? So...
Yes.
Lots of Christmas specials. I've actually been starting to amass quite a collection of them from the, I think I started in the 60s. So I've got 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, thousands now. And lots and lots and lots of them. The kids and I and you on some of them.
Yep.
Sat down and watched, what did we watch? Connor strong-armed me into watching the SpongeBob Christmas special. I don't think we even finished it all.
Oh.
And he's very keen on me finishing it with him. SpongeBob and Christmas. Interesting. But I don't... I'm not for it. I'm no for it.
Uh-huh.
Shrek the Halls. Fantastic.
Yes.
Very
Unlike
enjoyable.
Donkeys, caroling, whatever.
Yeah, that was a caroling train wreck. That
was
horrible.
So great.
But
Shrek the Halls
is fantastic. 2009 or 2010. 2009, I think. And we've watched it many times. And your possibly favorite movie line of all time comes from there. And
yes.
That is, as my mama always said, Christmas ain't Christmas till somebody cries. Oh, that's classic.
That
See, and she laughed
one.
Just now.
Yep.
I just keep telling her I'm going to get her, put on a shirt for her to wear.
Yes.
Christmas ain't Christmas till somebody cries. So true. So sad.
Yep.
We watched the Bugs Bunny Christmas special, which is from the 70s. Interesting. Had some Christmas Carol elements in it, some Dickens elements, and also Roadrunner and Coyote, which is, as we all know, is very Christmas-oriented.
Yes.
I'm not sure how.
The Tasmanian Devil.
Yes.
You don't see Taz very often.
You don't.
I don't know.
And there's a new Looney Tunes show. I believe Michael and Melissa talked about it a few weeks back on a Verdict podcast. But it's interesting. And what, as a voice person myself, it makes me realize just, I mean, I always knew Mel Blanc was a mega, mega, mega talent. No one's ever come close. But then when you watch this new one, Bugs is okay, but it's hard not to compare. Porky Pig is really good. I think his name is Bob Bergen, and he's a very famous voice actor. He's good. But it's interesting because you look through the credits on that show and you see that there's, what, six, seven people doing all those characters that Mel Blanc did all by himself.
Yeah.
And just, and to switch back and forth between those characters, like how do you, and Porky Pig stammering, Elmer Fudd's way of talking, how do you just pick that stuff up? Like, it, mega talent, mega genius talent.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And, of course, if you are a Looney Tunes fan, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, the Looney Tunes Platinum Collection just came out on Blu-ray not too long ago. So all the stuff has been remastered for Blu-ray. It's Volume 1, so, you know, God knows how many there will be. but the interesting thing about this to me is that they really focus a lot on Chuck Jones. And to me, Chuck Jones is Looney Tunes. But this set seems to focus a lot on him, and some, and most of my favorite Looney Tunes cartoons are his. And so there's a lot of documentaries and things about his life and tons of stuff on here that nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Oh, that's for me, is it?
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So there you go. And there's also How to Train Your Dragon just released in November. I can't remember the exact date, but it was called Gift of the Night Fury, and it's a short animated film, I guess, that was done by the DreamWorks people. Features the original voice actors from How to Train Your Dragon, the film. Very good. Very, very good. We've watched it two or three times now.
It's really
worth
seeing.
Yeah, the voice acting is fantastic, and man, did they knock the animation out of the park on that. Just the... You know, and to think about the fact that I always think of this when I watch animated films, the voices are recorded first, sometimes a year or two or 3 years ahead. So for the animators to then take the nuances of this voice-only performance and bring a unique animated character to life with pauses and gestures and everything, you know, just breathing life and a soul into these animated characters... it's just fantastic.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of animated crap out there, but I'm talking DreamWorks and Pixar and Disney and people like that.
Right. Yes, the Michael Bublé special, I'm definitely interested in seeing, and I would like to see more, us watch more of those type of specials. Instead of TV show specials, I'd like to see people, famous people specials.
Oh, okay.
Because that's what we always watched at my house growing up, and since we've been married, I don't think I've seen one.
Well,
because it's not your thing,
I would blame.
I'm not in charge of the TV, so.
I would blame me. Speaking of TV, the kids are playing video games the other day, and the our HD theater projector went pop, and we've been living on borrowed time with that thing for a long time, because the bulb has been replaced, lamp has been lit for 6 months, a year. So that is glowing praise for the Sanyo Z5 720p projector that the bulb lasted that long. But now I'm, of course, going, oh, crap, it's almost Christmas, and there's video games to be played, and how will we find... I'll have to find a bulb, so... Oh, boy.
So yeah, it's a big, sweaty issue there.
Yeah, you're worried. Big and sweaty.
Man, that'll keep me up every night all night between now and when we get that bulb back in there.
You should tweet about it. You should tweet that up. Tweet yourself to it. Tweet-tastic, tweet-erific.
I don't tweet. I think tweeting is stupid.
It's
tweeting is for the birds. Ha, ha, ha.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, she's here all week. She's, yeah. Bum, ba, dum, bum.
No, don't do it.
Yeah, no, it's okay. My personal feeling is, of course. But, so, anyway. It's our cheap little studio sound effects machine. So let's talk a bit. This was your idea. Let's talk a bit about shows that have been canceled.
Yeah, there's only a couple, really. I guess that's a good thing. Yeah. But Prime Suspect, which kind of surprises me. And I wonder if that's for sure, for sure. It seems like it is.
Yeah, it kind of seems like it is.
I noticed in the back of Entertainment Weekly a week or two ago, they're blaming it on her hat.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they say blame it on the hat.
Well, I blame it on the hat.
Yeah.
I hate the hat.
And she was wearing some jacket the other episode that had grandpa patches on the elbows.
Oh.
With the hat. What's with that?
Well, I think we've talked about this show before.
We have.
What we liked about it was that it's so gritty and seems so real.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And I still like that. I do. You know, because, okay, this is what irritates me a little bit about the CSI franchise.
Okay.
Almost every house they go into looks like a cleaner just walked through there. And every single body on the table looks like a supermodel. When was the last time you saw a fat person on their autopsy table?
Yeah,
or as a suspect, as a victim, right? Apparently on CSI, only beautiful people die.
Let's be politically correct here. It is a person of girth. A person of girth or someone horizontally challenged.
Right,
let's be politically correct.
And whereas we were watching an episode of Prime Suspect the other day,
yeah.
And I'm noticing they walk into this place that's a victim's house, and they're tossing clothes off the couch, and there's papers on, you know, like it looks like somebody actually lives there.
Looks like
a real house.
Looks like, say, our house.
Yeah.
Not really.
I don't know. It just, you know, it has a lot more of a realness to it, which I really hope it's not really canceled, but I
you know what's really
guess
weird?
It really is.
You know what's really weird? I'm looking on the internet, and you know you can believe everything on the internet. I don't see anything about it being canceled specifically, but then other sources have told us it is.
Well, I guess that one's up in the air, and we'll hope for the best.
So, in case you don't know, it stars Maria Bello as Detective Jane Timoney, and the series is a reimagining, which is one of your favorites, of the British series of the same name.
Yes.
So there you go. The British series is very highly regarded, and apparently this one slightly less so.
Well,
see, what I have trouble with is the chemistry and the composition and the writing and all of those things that go together.
And
to
even
make,
the cast.
Just a sec. I don't think you know where I'm going.
Oh.
So just wait and I'll pull over and pick you up when I'm done.
Okay.
What I find, you know, they're trying to take something that worked well in the UK and bring it over here.
Yeah.
They tried it with the IT Crowd. Didn't work.
No.
Tried it with Prime Suspect. Didn't work.
You know what I actually noticed the other day that they are also potentially bringing over is, now I can't remember the name of it.
Being Human is another
one. Being Human.
Yeah. Oh, its first season is done.
Oh.
I don't think it's been canceled.
How come we didn't talk about it?
I don't know. Because I didn't really care. I'm just going to go to the interwebs again.
Has it been doing okay, or is it?
Well, let's just have a look here.
See, you knew this was going on, and here we were, talking about new shows every week, and what was good and what wasn't. You didn't even mention it once?
No, I guess I didn't.
I tell you, you're
so
fired.
You're fired from this non-paying volunteer job.
Exactly.
June 29th, 2011, Variety reported another actor was signed on to play a regular in season 2. So obviously it's coming back for a season 2.
Ha. Huh. See, we probably won't watch it. And this is the thing, right? Okay.
Yeah.
If you saw the British version and you really liked it, you probably won't check out the new one. Or if you do, you're going to be really skeptical. So that's where we are with Being Human, and probably there's other people who are like that with Prime Suspect. But because we never saw the British one, we like this one just fine.
But you know what? I'm going to check out Being Human, the American one, because it does star Sam Witwer, who is, for geeks like me, he's the he's the voice actor and the body, you know, the motion capture and facial capture actor behind Darth Vader's secret apprentice in The Force Unleashed 1 and 2.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So it's a sci-fi series, and it airs on Sci-Fi in the U.S. and Space Channel in Canada.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, well, I promise we'll check it out.
Getting back to Maria, to Prime Suspect, though.
Yes.
You know, I like that Aidan Quinn is in it.
Yeah.
I think he's a really good addition.
Well, what...
Or part
What was funny to me is, I think we watched episode one, and I said, holy cow, I think that's Aidan Quinn. And you said, who? And I looked him up on IMDb and found some photos, and I said, there's back in the day. And you went,
yeah,
what?
He's certainly a lot older than he was, but...
Yeah, so...
But he's good. And Maria Bello is really good.
She's fantastic. And Kirk Acevedo, who left Fringe, is now on Prime Suspect.
Yes.
So that was interesting to see him on there. So, is it canceled or not? We're reading it is, but I don't see anything on some other sources that say it is. So, whatever.
So, I guess that one will keep you posted.
So, it's produced by Universal, ITV Studios, Film 44, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I think some of the people that are involved in the British one are also involved in the American. So that's usually a good sign that they get a bit of a blessing from,
right,
from the folks, the peeps that made her happen in the first place.
Forgive the typing sounds.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, what's his name? Our studio lackey.
Footsworth.
Yeah. No, is it? No, the, not Footsworth.
The other guy.
Yeah.
What was his name?
The heck was his name?
I don't know.
Michael, help us.
He's been living under the stairs for so long, I've forgotten about him.
And he's got a hairy face. Yeah. Oh, rats. Michael, help us. Anyway, you can tell by the typing that this is a highly funded, research-dense show.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, we've got an entire research team that works behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. How did this completely escape our radar? I don't know. But Falling Skies.
Yeah.
Falling Skies showed up...
Last summer.
Yeah. And it originally ran... started June 19th, 2011. And I think the reason we missed it is I had the health issues.
And I was
working all the time. Blah, blah, blah. We didn't see it.
And who watches TV in the summer, really?
Nobody. It's American sci-fi drama series created by Robert Rodat and produced by Steven Spielberg, who is, frankly, producing everything nowadays. I want to see him direct a few more things, but that's just me. The series picks up 6 months into a world devastated by an alien invasion. Stars Noah Wiley, Moon Bloodgood.
Even know who that was?
Yes.
I didn't.
Tons of people, like tons of character actors that you'll see. Oh, it's that guy. Oh, it's that lady. Like you'll just, it's a comfortable sweater. This show, I think, only 10 episodes so far. Premiered in June, as we mentioned, and it was renewed in July 2011 for a second season of 10 episodes that are due to air summer 2012. So it's kind of neat. Most of the shows that are running throughout the year end in May. And then here you go. Falling Skies drops right in the middle, fills in the gap. So, and that's the phone. And again, we don't have anyone to answer the phone, so I have to mute it. there you go. High tech. Behind the scenes, behind the curtain of View from the Couch.
It's just a funny little bald guy.
Is that me?
Like the Wizard of Oz.
Oh. Funny little bald guy. Wow, this close to Christmas, you're taking that kind of a shot, are you? Falling Skies tells the story of the aftermath of a global invasion by several races of extraterrestrials. Several races? Oh, I guess that. Okay, anyway. Very cool aliens called Skitters, and I won't give away too much because they're pretty neat. It's a pretty neat concept. And they also have mechanical attack drones. That's droid and drone mixed together.
Yep.
Called mechs. And they're like, as a mech, you would imagine it to be, just like from RoboCop. Big, really big on top and two chicken legs, or from Star Wars.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's basically what we liked about it.
Like.
Because it's not canceled so far.
And we're only how many episodes into
it? Four, I think.
Yeah.
It assumes everything. It assumes you know what's going on. And it feeds you little bits here and there. But
without flashbacks, which I like.
Without flashbacks.
I think that is unique. Yeah. Flashbacks have been way overused lately.
8 months earlier. Yeah, CSI's been doing a lot of flashbacks. Fringe has been doing flashbacks.
You can
Fringe thrives on flashbacks.
And all the CSIs do.
Yeah.
Because you can have a character telling another character about what happened to them.
Yeah.
And that's it.
If it's done well.
You don't have to see it happening.
You know what I think the flashback is? The flashback is an expository crutch, which says the audience will not sit here while Joe and Betty talk about what Joe had for lunch 2 days ago.
Right.
Even if it's key to the story, they don't care. They will leave. They'll turn it off. They'll walk away. But if you have flashy CG to recreate a crime scene, well, I mean, it's CSI is a different animal because it does need that. But, you know, 3 weeks earlier or previously, like one thing Supernatural does that I like is it says at the very beginning of the episode, it says then in big letters and does a recap. And then it says now. And then now is kind of the intro to that week's story. And then it shows the title screen and away you go. So that's kind of neat. But yeah, I guess it's, if it's not theater, if it's not the stage, you don't have the luxury of people parked in their seats for an hour, 2 hours, watching a three-act play, putting up with exposition between two characters, or backstory, or setup, or anything like that. So they gotta tart it up a bit to make people stick around.
And yet they don't.
But you're right, yeah. So, yeah.
What's good about it, I think, is when you see flashback, you assume that's what happened.
Yeah.
Even though you're only hearing it from one person's perspective.
Yes.
And sometimes on CSI, they'll show another flashback showing it from another character's perspective, and it's completely
different. Similar situation, but different people involved or different
details. And it goes
details, yeah.
Whereas, because they aren't showing you anything, you don't assume that that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And you can see how the character says it, and you can watch the expression on their face and see if they believe that that's how it happened.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, and
anyway, it's well done.
And the other thing that we said, too, about the show that we like is there is no... You're just dropped in. They just parachute you into the middle. You don't really know how long this has been going on. There are relationships that have tension in them. There are relationships that seem close, and you don't know why. You don't know why. You know, it hasn't been spoon-fed to you.
Right.
So you can go back and explore. You know, it's unfolding before your eyes in a lot of ways. So.
Right.
Guess we love Falling Skies. That's our recommendation.
Well, you know what?
Check it out because it's not common.
I was reluctant at first because I guess I think of video games. There's so many video games with the alien invasions and the zombies and the, you know, on and on and on. And I guess it feels overdone in a way.
Yeah.
But because of the way this is done, it doesn't... It just... I don't know.
Feels fresh.
Yeah, it does.
That's good.
So even if you're reluctant because you feel like it's been overdone and you've been there, seen that, and Terminator comes to mind.
Yeah. Well, and we bounced it around a little bit as we've been watching the show. Is there's a Terminator flavor, there's a V flavor, there's a Battlestar Galactica flavor, but none of it is stolen from those shows. It feels original and it feels fresh.
Yeah, and so it is worth watching.
Yes, check it out. Falling Skies, 10 episodes this year over the summer, and then 10 due to air this coming summer. So
you still have. January, February, March, April, May. 6 months.
Track it down.
5 months. Five months to catch up on last season before the new one starts.
It is not currently on Netflix, at least not in Canada that I've seen, but I have a feeling it would come out at some point. And I haven't seen any announcements of it being released on DVD, but I'm sure it will be soon.
So but if you are resourceful like we are, I bet you'll find it somewhere.
That's right. As one of my friends said, found while surfing. It's actually my brother, I believe, who coined that term. And it's not illegal. It's not illegal. It's finding stuff, that, information, and so on. Okay, we haven't talked about movie trailers in a while. There's only two I want to talk about. But they are, just by fluke, both Disney. One is straight up Disney, and one is Disney Pixar. The first being Brave. Right. Now, and why this is notable, how it hit my radar is Scottish story. Set in Scotland, back in the day. It's got a bit of a Braveheart feel to it.
Are they calling it the new princess movie, or is that what you're calling it?
Well, they are saying Disney's first Scottish princess. That's okay. What I'm hearing lots of people say.
Okay.
So another princess and Scottish. So one thing I was thinking the other day is, all the Disney princesses have been introduced by Disney. Well, this is Pixar's first princess, and Pixar and Disney introducing this princess together. Because will this character show up in costume at Disneyland and Walt Disney World? You bet she will.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
So kind of neat that it's a Pixar-Disney, you know, this is their partnership putting this character out there rather than a strictly Disney princess.
Right.
So
And all the other princesses have come from old fairy tales, whereas yes. This one may not be.
Brand new. Yeah. Brand new story.
Unless there is such a thing as a Scottish princess fairy tale that they based it on. But I'd be surprised.
Yeah. There probably... Who knows? There probably is. So, due next year, 2012. And, of course, it's not surprisingly 3D computer animated. Voiced by... Now, this is interesting. Originally... Reese Witherspoon was supposed to voice the princess main character,
she was going to do a Scottish accent,
I guess. And she's good at accents.
True. She does a southern
actress by actress voiced by actor Kelly MacDonald, and Kelly is Scottish. Kelly MacDonald was in Trainspotting, and she was in bless you, Connor. Connor's homesick, so he's sitting in the background. Because
not looking very sick.
Watching his parents act like trained monkeys. Kelly MacDonald was also in Nanny McPhee.
Oh.
The first one.
Okay.
And she's fantastic. I think she's fantastic.
Okay.
Veteran actor Julie Waters voices an old woman in it. The movie's being produced by Pixar, and it's their 13th feature film, and will be released by Disney. So, I guess it's not really a Disney-Pixar partnership, because they...
Except that's what it says on the poster. Disney-Pixar.
No, but I mean, that's the production, distribution partnership, and that was the same on Toy Story and whatever.
Yeah.
But I guess she is still their first, princess. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
Her name is Merida. Or Merida. Merida, I think. One thing that I'm really looking forward to is the other voice actors. King Fergus is voiced by Scottish comedian and actor Billy Connolly. Queen Eleanor, one of my favorite actors, Emma Thompson. Lord MacGuffin, voiced by Scottish actor Kevin McKidd, who is most notable as his character in Grey's Anatomy, whose name is Owen.
Right.
Owen Hunt.
Right.
Dr. Owen Hunt. Lord McIntosh, another favorite of mine, Scottish comedian, talk show host Craig Ferguson, who also did a voice in How to Train Your Dragon. And cantankerous Lord Dingwall, voiced by British actor Robbie Coltrane. So very cool. So pretty neat, the voice cast, as I mentioned. And then John Ratzenberger, of course, appears on the list of the cast list because, you know, he's their good luck charm and he's in every movie, so he'll be there somewhere.
He'll be the cantankerous... What is he?
Someone.
Is he...
Farmer?
What is his accent? New York? No.
John Ratzenberger. Yeah. So, music by Patrick Doyle, also one of my favorite composers. He has had a long partnership with Kenneth Branagh and has done the scores on a lot of his films. So, release date, June 22nd. Looks great. Originally, it was called The Bear and the Bow, as in and arrow. But it's been changed to Brave. Seems like it's going to be somewhat darker and more mature than their previous films, set in the 10th century, Highlands of Scotland. So this is a fairy tale in the sense of Hans Christian Andersen and Brothers Grimm, which is what people are saying. So
right.
First female protagonist in a Pixar film, by the way, which is kind of neat.
Huh.
So there. So one of the cool things, Patrick Doyle is looking to put some Scottish flavor into the music, but not beat people over the head with it. So I don't think it will all be bagpipes by any sense, but bagpipes have their time and their place. Either people love them or they hate them. But I think if you're going
in, or they like them in a large open area.
Oh, that, is that you?
Yeah.
I guess that's you.
They're just very loud.
Not talking about too much Christmas this week, but there you have it. That's some Christmas. And our next show...
Were you going to talk about that other trailer, or did you decide not to?
Ooh, I forgot. John Carter. John Carter, Warlord of Mars, as some people know it. John Carter is a character created by Edgar Rice Burroughs, who created Tarzan. And so the novel series, a huge series of novels. But then the film, 2012 again, so this is coming out. Also a Disney release, so that's kind of interesting, and we mentioned that. The story is former Confederate Captain John Carter is transported to Mars. And there he becomes part of a conflict between the various nations of a planet whose leaders...
The planet.
Whose leaders include Tars Tarkas, who is voiced by one of my favorite actors, Willem Dafoe, and Princess Deja Thoris, Lynn Collins. The film is scored by Michael Giacchino and directed by Andrew Stanton and written by Andrew Stanton, Mark Andrews, and Michael Chabon. Film is being distributed by Disney, released March of 2012. Andrew Stanton, if the name is familiar, he's worked on live-action films before, but his previous work includes Pixar animated films Finding Nemo and WALL-E. It's going to be released in digital 3D and IMAX 3D. Whoopee, who cares?
It just means you have to pay more money to go see it.
That's right. So he becomes a hero of Mars and leads a revolution and so on. This has been in development for a long, long time. And I think...
I saw something about the 1950s up there.
Dating back to the 50s, Ray Harryhausen, who's a legend in film, had expressed interest in filming the novels, but then in the 80s, it took until the 80s when Mario Casar and his partner Andrew Vanya bought the rights for Walt Disney. And they were going to try and create a competing franchise to Star Wars and Conan. Oh, gosh. There were people hired to rewrite and write the story. John McTiernan and Tom Cruise were approached to direct and star at one point. Thankfully, that never happened, at least in the Tom Cruise front. But he would have been okay, I guess. The rights eventually returned to the Burroughs estate. So it's been all over the place. Robert Rodriguez was attached. Paramount, Columbia have all been attached before. The Directors Guild of America had issues at one point.
Then it seemed to revive in 2003.
Yeah, and then 2005, Jon Favreau was supposed to direct. So it's been all over the map. Things were still mired, so Favreau left and went on to Iron Man, and of course the rest of that is history. So in January 2007, Disney regained the rights for Andrew Stanton and writer Mark Andrews. So, funny because apparently Stanton was technically loaned to Disney from Pixar because Pixar is an all-ages brand and John Carter is set to be rated PG-13. So he's kind of on loan for his talents there. So, So the release date is March 9th, 2012. And the trailer looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
It is CG heavy. It will make you think of Attack of the Clones is what it made me think of.
Yes.
Big arena, big monsters, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it looks like it might be done better. I think anything could be done better than Attack of the Clones, personally. So that's another one to look forward to. So, two big movies, trailers that we watched, John Carter and Brave. Check them out at apple.com.
Yep.
Trailers are there on iTunes, so check them out. So we're deliberately kind of staying away from too much Christmas stuff because next week, lots of little Christmas treats. Next week, next time on December 21st,
yes.
We may be talking to a jolly old elf. We may be talking about other Christmas specials. We will definitely be talking about two of our favorite, incredibly unconventional Christmas movies.
Right.
And it's going to be a flick swap, actually.
Sort of.
So, kind of, yeah. Because we've both seen both.
Yes.
But still.
Yeah.
But it's our Christmas film gift to each other to watch these specific films. So.
Right.
That has been View from the Couch for Wednesday, December 7th.
I think Connor would like to say hello.
Would you like to say hello or goodbye? Why don't you say, this has been View from the Couch for Wednesday, December 7th.
Hello, everybody. This has
Speak.
Been...
Speak. This is radio, not television.
this...
Has
yeah,
been...
Yeah, this is wrapping up.
Okay, thanks for not following the script. Okay, so that's been View from the Couch for Wednesday, December 7th. Goodbye, everyone, and we'll catch you on the 21st.
See ya. Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.